London is very well established as a global financial center, a global center for fintech innovation. There's much great things. It's on a par with other major sort of centers around the world. But the fintech family for the UK shows actually fintech innovation is taking place across all parts of the region, not just in London. London's really important, but actually the developments in Scotland, Wales, Northern Ireland, Manchester, Leeds, Newcastle, Bristol, the Midlands, the Southeast are hugely exciting, all slightly different. And actually, that diversity of different types of innovation makes actually the team, the family, diverse, but also much stronger because we can work together in developing the UK's global position on the fintech sort of stage in taking to market. So when businesses look, for example, to come from New York to the UK, it's not just London they can look to, they can look to Edinburgh. They can look to Newcastle, they can look to Manchester at the same time. And it's not often a choice of one or the other. It's about actually choosing where best to fit to help that develop business land in the UK and develop its European sort of presence. So the exciting thing about the family is the collaborative approach to innovation and developing with the same sort of goal of developing a global mission around UK fintech and what it can achieve together. And that's what I mean by the family.
Hello and welcome to the latest episode of Heads Talk with me, Elaine Pringle-Schwitter, the podcast where we talk to C-level executives, leaders of institutions, and heads of multinationals. What are the current topics? They talk, we listen.
Can you imagine getting into a business or a market where you actually spend 100 billion plus on a piece of paper?
Are you kidding me?
It was like a frying pan to the head.
I got nothing against CFOs.
It was not just the job of a lifetime, it was the job of a thousand lifetimes.
My guest today is an influential advocate for fostering openness, creativity, and inclusivity within financial services through groundbreaking digital and data-driven initiatives. With a career spanning over 40 years, he boasts a distinguished track record of spearheading customer-centric, technology-driven ventures in executive capacities at large institutions such as Standard Life and Barclays, alongside pioneering ventures. An insightful conversation today on Heads Talk, but before we get into that, here's a brief message.
Fintech Week London is a week-long celebration of London's innovative fintech scene from 10 until the 14th of June. Get your tickets now for our flagship conference on Thursday the 13th of June at the Park Plaza, Victoria, London. Join us and meet over 1,000 senior decision makers from the leading fintechs, banks, investment firms, regulatory bodies, insurers, and service providers. Get your tickets now on www.fintechweek.london.
This episode is sponsored by Axia. Axia is the leading private cloud platform in the Alessian and Mattermost ecosystem, combining intelligent solutions with security and control. Axia's clients profit from digitalization and automation of critical business processes in a cloud and hybrid architecture. 150 staff provide migration, engineering, and support services to over 200 leading organizations in 32 countries.
Heads Talk podcast with your host, Elaine Pringle-Schwitter.
Stephen Ingledew is the chairman of Fintech Scotland. Under his leadership, Fintech Scotland has emerged as a leading fintech cluster management organisation in the UK and Europe. Stephen played a pivotal role in crafting the groundbreaking research and innovation roadmap and co-founded the UK Fintech National Network. His contributions were recognised with an OBE in the 2023 New Year's Honours List for services to the fintech sector, the UK fintech sector. In addition to his leadership roles, Stephen has a number of non-executive director roles and serves on a number of boards to include the UK government's Business Innovation Board. Beyond his professional endeavours, he also dedicates himself to mentoring and investing in tech entrepreneurs across the African continent. So without further ado, I'd like to welcome Stephen to Heads Talk. Many thanks for joining me today.
Thank you, Elaine. Delighted to be with you and to have this opportunity of a conversation.
I agree. Okay, let's start. Let's start, you know, if you could just introduce my listeners to Fintech Scotland. When was it established and what is the makeup of the organisation?
Yes, thank you. Yes, Fintech Scotland, we established it at the beginning of 2018. And it was prompted by a couple of large financial institutions, HSBC, Lloyds Bank notably, the University of Edinburgh, and one or two others, who felt then it was an opportunity to show some leadership about using fintech innovation to really drive economic development, new jobs, new businesses. And I was asked if I would set it up and get it running as a organization, which we refer to as a cluster management organization. We're not a trade body. We're there really to develop the cluster around financial innovation.
Excellent. And listeners, do not worry, we're going to go into greater detail on cluster management with Stephen. But let me continue. I'm assuming, I think you were there from the start. You were there asked to sort of set up FinTech Scotland. Is there a FinTech Wales? Is there a FinTech? Is there a FinTech in the different British Isles?
Yes, there are. The urge over the last 6 years is other regions within the UK developing their specific hubs. Around whether that's Northern Ireland, the northeast of England, Newcastle in the region, the West Midlands, the west of England and the north. So yes, they are all slightly different because every part of the UK is slightly different in the way in terms of its makeup. So yes, there are. And that provides a great opportunity to work together as a team as we're all slightly different.
So was yours the first?
I wouldn't say necessarily. We're the first actually cluster management organisation, yes, to set up to actually focus on economic outcomes and impact around encouraging entrepreneurial businesses, startups, creating jobs, driving productivity, developing economic growth and international opportunities. Yes.
And just before we move on, you know, you said they're all different bodies, different groups, but do you work together at all?
Yes, I mean, in fact, myself alongside Charlotte Cresswell, who was the chief executive at Innovate Finance, which is the overall trade body for fintech in the UK, came together with one of the leaders of Fintech North. And back in 2019, we formed what's now known as the Fintech National Network, which is the umbrella sort of collective of all the hubs across all of the UK regions, bringing us together on a very regular basis to share insights, develop together and work together in a very collaborative way.
Okay, good. I'm glad to talk about collaboration. I want to talk about collaboration in a greater space. I want to know who, apart from the other hubs, who do you collaborate, FinTech Scotland, who do you really collaborate with?
Well, within the FinTech cluster for Scotland, our makeup is of course, the small FinTechs, the entrepreneurial businesses, those that have literally started in the last few months, to those that have been going for a couple of years, to are using new technologies to innovate in the world of finance, everything from payments to insurance to banking to pensions to investments. So that's the community, that's the FinTechs. Of course, what's important then is recognising the ecosystem is made up of some very large financial institutions. Yeah. So we work with 30 of those. That's everything from Barclays and JP Morgan, Morgan Stanley, through to the more sort of newer enterprises like sort of Tesco Bank, Virgin Money and such like, and some of the asset managers. Then alongside that, some of the large sort of technology players such as BT Group, which has a huge role to play in financial innovation. And then as part of the cluster, bringing in the universities, University of Edinburgh, University of Strathclyde, University of Glasgow, particularly, to utilise their capabilities, their research to drive the future areas of financial innovation. And then, of course, then working with government, the UK government, Scottish government and the economic agencies that exist really to develop sort of the development of a thriving ecosystem. Obviously, universities are core in providing those future skills for the workforce of the future, but also because of their academic research in particular, particularly across disciplines of you put together maths alongside social sciences, alongside law, alongside public policy. All those things blend together and they all impact fintech. So you can actually play a crucial role working with universities to help them shape the future areas of research and how then to turn some of those ideas into products or even into new businesses that are created.
I'm wondering, with FinTech Scotland, some of your work, is it about bringing together University arms with sort of Scottish enterprises or financial services with, you know, small fintech business? Are you sort of like, almost like, I hate the phrase middleman, but more sort of the nucleus, that's the word, that's the best word. Nucleus in all of this.
Yeah, very much, Elaine. The way that my analogy is that you've got a football team here in Scotland, yeah, made up of the different players, the entrepreneurs, the big financial companies, the big tech companies, the public sector, the regulator, the universities. They're all the players on the pitch.
Mm-hmm.
Our role at FinTech Scotland is not to be another player on the pitch. We're the coach on the sidelines. Right. We're looking to coach them to play together better as a team, get to know each other so they can score more goals and mm-hmm. win more games.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
The key role for us is that facilitation, that convening, that sort of driving and strategically connecting them in a way they probably wouldn't be connected if left to their own devices.
Mm-hmm. And as you say, in your sort of facilitation capacity, what are some of the positive economic and possibly social outcomes that you are seeing as a result of your involvement in all of this?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, first of all, obviously the ideas coming out of the research from universities are turned, as I mentioned, into products and then turned actually into businesses. So that's when a business then is created, an idea, a prototype, then is commercialized and then mm-hmm. can be advanced and actually become quite a thriving business as part of the economy. So that growth of new enterprises is one area. The second area, for example, is some of the large institutions mm-hmm. like Barclays, like a NatWest, want to research not just about the future in the immediate term, but also about the medium to long term. What are the key areas impacting consumers and businesses around financial innovation? So by working with the academic world on researching that and coming up with different scenarios, they can decide where best to place their strategic bets on investing resources and time to develop those areas commercially, but also for the benefit of growing their businesses.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Okay. And I'm just wondering, you know, when I was thinking, it's almost like a bit of a side thing to it, but it's out of curiosity, I'm posing this question. Because of the position you're in, you're talking to universities, you're talking to enterprises, you're talking to the financial services, you're talking to the big incumbents.
Yes.
So when you're talking to the incumbents, perhaps if you want to focus in there, what are they talking to you about with the advent of generative AI? Are they excited or concerned?
As with any technological development, really, there's a mixed view. Mm-hmm. There's excitement about how they could potentially embrace that to address some of the real strategic challenges and problem statements they've got within their business about becoming more efficient, mm-hmm. about growing the business, about reaching more customers. Mm-hmm. On the other hand, there is the concern about how you blend this new technology, such as Gen AI, with their existing legacy of mm-hmm. technological infrastructure and framing that they've got and the use of data, and how they do that within a regulatory landscape that actually provides better customer outcomes. Mm-hmm. So the challenges and the opportunities go hand in hand. And that's why what we encourage, and we don't have the answers to that, I don't think anyone does, but the best way to get to some kind of way of coming up with solutions is actually to work through in a laboratory, in a way that actually is collaborative, that brings parties together to see some mutual benefit in developing the technologies to improve the outcomes for customers and grow businesses. So it's creating the experimental environment in a safe way mm-hmm. that has positive impact.
Mm. So you mentioned this, I'm bringing this up. So how does FinTech Scotland navigate the balance between promoting innovation and ensuring regulatory compliance?
Well, first and foremost, working hand in hand very closely with the regulators, particularly the FCA. And the FCA were actually a key stakeholder at the very outset when we set up FinTech Scotland back in 2018. Their senior team recognised the opportunity of placing some of their team close into FinTech Scotland so they could see innovation firsthand. Because at the end of the day, the market is always going to move quicker than regulation. Mm-hmm. So by that, gave them the insight, the way that the market was changing, evolving, developing around the uses of new technology to meet customer needs. And therefore, they can consider how regulation needed to evolve with that over sort of time. So working hand in hand. And a good example of that right now, the FCA have a major tech sprint on its way around the issue of financial inclusion. We're working very closely with them in a way that they reach out to the ecosystem to bring in as many parties as possible to participate in addressing the issues of financial inclusion, both small businesses, large enterprises, universities, but also the third sector, people like sort of citizen advice. So working collaboratively and not seeing the regulator as some kind of something on the side you bring in at the last moment. It's actually involved in the experiments at an early stage.
Okay, let's move on. With the recent accreditation of FinTech Scotland with the Silver Label for Cluster Management Excellence by ESCA, that's the European Secretariat for Cluster Analysis. Congratulations on that. First, what key initiatives or practices were pivotal in achieving this recognition? And thereafter, if you can, what further goals does the organisation have in advancing cluster management excellence?
Yeah, thank you. I think there's a couple I'll pull out, really, and it's quite an extensive, it's like an audit that you go through this accreditation body run by the EU. There are many clusters across all parts of the economy in Europe and in the UK. And we saw this as an opportunity to benchmark how we were progressing. So one example is developing this community of fintechs who actually could learn and develop together. Mm-hmm. We started in Scotland with 26 fintechs. We've now got 230 or so. Mm-hmm. So the community has grown and they don't pay to be in that community. There's no fee, there's no membership. They actually choose because they see the value in actually collaborating and actually sometimes bringing their propositions together to take to market. So huge opportunities there. The second area I would highlight is that we were the first part of the UK to develop, and you mentioned it in your introduction there, Elaine, the Research and Innovation Roadmap, a 10-year roadmap put together with industry and academia on what are the key areas of financial innovation for the next decade going forward. Mm-hmm. And that allowed us to really bring parties together where they sort of said around these four big innovation themes, open finance, payments, climate tech, climate finance, and financial regulation innovation, that they wanted to kind of get going. They wanted to actually be on the pitch and be kicking the ball, back to my other analogy, working together with different parties, including the regulator, including the entrepreneurs, to work out how to address some of the real thorny issues in those big four themes. So we were the first to do that, and that provided a roadmap by which we focused the innovation effort. And that's always helpful rather than trying to be all things to all people.
Okay. You talked about the UK fintech family and you named some names in your recent posts on LinkedIn. Heads Talk has a sort of a global listenership with nearly 140 countries downloading episodes at various stages. So tell my listeners about the UK fintech family, that phrase you use, and what does that mean to you, the UK, and the wider world?
Yeah, no, thank you. I think this is one of the really exciting things about being part of the UK fintech sort of activity that's happening at this point in time. London is very well established as a global financial centre, a global centre for fintech innovation. There's much great things. It's on a par with other major sort of centres around the world. Mm-hmm. But the fintech family for the UK shows actually fintech innovation is taking place across all parts of the region, not just in London. London's really important, but actually developments in Scotland, Wales, Northern Ireland, Manchester, Leeds, Newcastle, Bristol, the Midlands, the Southeast are hugely exciting, all slightly different. And actually that diversity of different types of innovation makes actually the team, the family, diverse, but also much stronger because we can work together in developing the UK's global position on the fintech sort of stage, in taking to market. So when businesses look, for example, to come from New York to the UK, it's not just London they can look to. They can look to Edinburgh. They can look to Newcastle. Mm-hmm. They can look to Manchester at the same time. And it's not often a choice of one or the other. It's about actually choosing where best to fit to help that business land in the UK and develop its European sort of presence. Mm-hmm. So The exciting thing about the family is the collaborative approach to innovation and developing with the same sort of goal of developing a global mission around UK fintech and what it can achieve together. And that's what I mean by the family. Family members are always very different from each other. And the differences is what makes us stronger and better in terms of what we can achieve.
So would you say there's a consistent, not just a consistent message, a consistent understanding, a consistent sort of objective way forward? If I was to talk to someone in FinTech Wales, they're going to say the same thing as what you're saying, as what various institutions are saying. Is that what you're saying?
Yes, we're part of actually a broader team. And in short, really, Elaine, the best way to put it is that the whole, the family mm-hmm. as a whole, mm-hmm. is bigger than the sum of the parts. Mm-hmm. And that's the value we've got in it. So yes, and the Khalifa review that you would have covered in previous of your sort of excellent sort of sessions from a couple of years ago highlighted the opportunity to leverage what was happening across the UK and take it to the next stage. And that's what's happened. And hence the formation of the Centre for Innovation in Financial Technology, CFIT for short, mm-hmm. which I sit on the board as a non-exec, mm-hmm. which is really looking to make sure that all parts of the UK develop around the opportunities in financial innovation. Mm-hmm. There's other areas around investment, around sort of skills at the same time. So it's about actually being joined up, about working together and seeing the whole being bigger than the sum of the parts.
Okay, excellent. You mentioned this in the previous question, but let's build upon the publication of the UK's first research and innovation roadmap and the hosting of the UK FinTech Symposium in 2022. What are the next steps for FinTech Scotland in nurturing an innovative community of FinTech firms and further enhancing collaboration with the broader innovation ecosystem?
Yeah, there's two things there. Is the roadmap that I touched on, the 10-year roadmap, around these four big themes of open mm-hmm. finance, yep. payments, financial regulation, and climate mm-hmm. finance provide really the guide rails on which we're driving activity, driving mm-hmm. outcomes, and bringing together the various big parties, the players on the pitch, to innovate based on problem statements, the priorities. There's always so much that can be done, but if we can focus on where people's priorities are, I'm more likely to get some action and some results rather than trying to be all things to all people. So the roadmap provides that basis, and that's allowed new businesses to be created and new businesses actually to say, actually, we want to be a part of that. Mm-hmm. We've got some businesses, for example, that started in the world of space technology, or some that started in health technology and now moved into the world of fintech. Because they can see their innovation, their technology has a role to play in financial innovation as much as it does in terms of space and data or health and people's sort of well-being. So these areas cross over, and the benefit of cluster development, you are open, you are inclusive, and you bring in parties who mm-hmm. challenge the convention. So that's number one. Number two, then, the symposium, which we've held in Edinburgh for the last 3 years, actually brings together the UK family that we touched on earlier, mm-hmm. all the different regions, plus some key players like the FCA, the regulator, the Bank of England, the City of London Corporation, the mm-hmm. UK government, to showcase this is what's happening, this is what's working in different regions, and this is how we can learn from each other. And it's been a real privilege, really, to host those in Edinburgh the last 3 years, and we'll be doing the same again in 2024.
All right. As a side, with all this football analogy, who do you support?
My team is the very infamous team of Reading Football Club, which is my hometown, which we're struggling at the moment. People may remember us that we did get into the Premiership a few years ago.
All right. But,
Reading.
Was it a fleeting visit?
I was born there, so you always stay loyal to where you are from.
I'm talking about Reading's football team's time in the Premiership.
Yes, it was fleeting. Yeah, 2 years, so 2 seasons. So yeah, it was fleeting. So, but we were there. I mean, we can say we were there, and we enjoyed the spectacle of seeing the Arsenal and Liverpool. But we're struggling at the moment for various reasons. But you remain loyal. You can't change your football team.
Of course,
you can't change your family. You can't change your football team.
Right. Okay. Let's end this episode of Heads Talk with you looking ahead. So Stephen, if we were to reconvene next year to discuss trends in fintech and the UK market. What topics do you anticipate will be at the forefront of our conversation?
Yeah, I think, and whilst it's very much there in the sort of areas of development over recent sort of times, particularly this last 12 months, open finance and the opportunity of using financial data, not just in terms of the way people spend money and save money and deal with issues such as problem debt, but also the role of open finance in how people manage their investments, their pensions, their insurance, and other aspects of their life, really. So the opportunity of using open data mixed with other data, for example, from the health environment or from a business sort of side, say climate sort of data coming from satellites, is a huge opportunity to innovate and use things differently and create different products for both businesses and for individuals. So open finance, certainly. The other one I would highlight, which we're hugely excited about because we have now established the Financial Regulation Innovation Lab in Glasgow, which will be a global laboratory, identifying the areas where financial innovation and technology can innovate to improve the way that we regulate financial services, to improve customer outcomes, but to improve the efficiency of businesses. Businesses are often tied up with legacy systems and too much sort of treacle. So technology can provide solutions to that and allow the regulator to do a better job, to allow businesses to be more efficient and customers to have better outcomes. So huge excitement. Watch this space on that. That's an area that's really going to take a hold. And we're delighted again that the FCA and the other regulators are very much on board with it.
I just would give the impression that this is the last question, and it would have been the last question, but there's something sort of in my head, and I have to get it out. You talked about financial regulations. You talked about open finance. I think you even talked about payments. You briefly mentioned on the list climate finance. What is that all about?
Yeah, climate finance is really recognizing that globally, of course, we face a carbon challenge in terms of the environment. It's obviously very much highlighted now as part of the overall ESG agenda. The financial services industry and fintech has a role to play in contributing to ensuring that actually investment in the future plays a part in addressing some of those net zero challenges ahead, both in terms of where it invests, but also where people can live their lives far more effectively and recognize what their carbon footprint is, so they can contribute both as an individual as well as a business. And whether that's through, for example, in a business, the supply chains, making them more efficient and recognizing the impact on the environment, or whether it's individuals in knowing the energy efficiency of their home, there's terrific, very exciting enterprises have been launched and developed in this sort of space that cut across into the world of climate and fintech together. And I think that's hugely exciting. People's bills have gone up enormously over recent sort of times in terms of energy. That's a financial implication, but also there's a net zero implication as well. That's where the two blend together, in short. That's how I explain it really to a member of the public, why the two go hand in hand in addressing the opportunities for the future.
Thanks for that. Stephen Ingledew, OBE, a valuable conversation today on Heads Talk. Many thanks for your time and insights.
Thank you, Elaine. Delighted to have this opportunity of a conversation with you.
Thanks for joining me today on this episode of Heads Talk. Don't forget to subscribe to the show via my website, elainepringle.com/Heads Talk, or wherever you get your podcasts. Finally, I'd like to thank our sponsors, guests, and you for helping to make the show possible. Please join me next time, where I'll be featuring more executives, C-suite leaders, and heads of multinationals.
Heads Talk podcast with your host, Elaine Pringle-Schwitter.